was.
Now it's time for Doin' It Bubba Style, your weekly motorsports radio show broadcast live from the East Coast Premier Diet Modern Performance Classic Car and Hot Rod Facility, Bubba's East Coast Rods and Customs, and hosts of the Silver Tally Award-winning TV show Hot Rod Reality. Four-time, back-to-back, Best of Award winners is voted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Business Hall of Fame inductees, building the very best cars in the industry with two state-of-the-art facilities in Jupiter, Florida and Fairfax, Virginia. Let's welcome the award-winning father and son car-building team, Bubba and Tom.
Doing it Bubba style be coming up. Hey, I see
well, good morning, Bubba. Good morning. How are you doing? Beautiful, sunny South Florida morning. Doing pretty good. We're just getting stuff done over here. Going all right. How's everything been going so far this morning?
So we're going to be on.
Not too bad. You know? Hey, man, you know what? This is a whole new format.
All the great people out there. Doesn't get any better than that.
Special thanks to Mark Pyle. Hey, we're going to be actually starting the live TV show on the radio show.
That'll be great, man. I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like here for some reason we're having some feedback coming through from Reza.
It looks
like we got there.
There we go. There we go. So, yeah, today starts a new format of our TV show. We'll be filming live of the episode of radio show. So that's very, very exciting. Welcome Steve up there at Talk Cars from our Chicago affiliate who joined us last week, Bub.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, been a lot of stuff going on. A lot of changes to not only the audio equipment, but you know, the broadcast in which we're doing it. It's, you know, we're having a bit of trouble with our previous broadcasting companies. It's almost like we're in a lot of fade in and out, and you know, the audio levels were never correct, and they were always, you know, changing. It's, you know, something about the bandwidth, and they were always like automatically adjusting things over there, and it wasn't doing good. So I think this is going to be way better.
It's going to be very exciting. In fact, you're going to be able to see every episode of the radio show now on our TV channel that we're setting up. It's very technical, of course, as you know. You're also going to see every episode on the page of the on the landing page, new technically advanced edge of the business and what we're doing. We're trying to get more connected to our friends out there, man.
Yeah, and that's usually what, you know, a lot of people want, you know, more that they can get in around.
Right on.
You know, people enjoy that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Right on, right on. Well, good morning to the girls out there, Rob and Layla. We got fans out in Cancun, Mexico, I'm hearing, that are listening to us today, Bob. We've got a lot of people there. Zach Safford, hi. Good morning to your dad out there. Everybody out there, I know Zach's dad is a big car fan, Bob. Do you know that?
Not, but now I do.
Yeah, his dad's a big car fan. Bob, there's the camera right there. See it looking at us? See it looking at us right there?
I see.
You are right there.
I did. So I should definitely not have my finger in my nose.
No, you definitely shouldn't. Hey, above, you want to, we're going to jump in here. We say good morning to Perry Rowe and all of our friends over at the Old D Cafe. Man, he's got those hot rods lined up around the block. And it was interesting. I was in the store the other day. It was yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I had somebody stop me. I don't think I told Terry this story when he was here yesterday. We had somebody stop me, a young lady stopped me and said, "You're Bubba's." And I said, "Yes, indeed I am." I said, "How do you know us?"
And that's good.
That's really cool, man. So,
eating eggs and hams and camshafts.
Eggs and camshafts. Like, they're grinding them up. You know, he's grinding up that camshaft like black pepper, isn't he?
He uses the jelly as cam lube.
He absolutely does.
Strawberry or grape.
How about that, Bub? Hey, Bub, this is going to be a whole different episode. A couple of things. I'm very, 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 Bub, the good news about the Velocity show, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yeah, so super excited about it. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, we're actually, we're blessed to be able to be invited out to, you know, one of the renowned shows out there with it, which is Tenor and Salvage Classics.
Right on, man.
You know, it's an amazing hit on Velocity Channel, and you know, he's had some crazy wrecks and just, you know, putting strong. So when they invited us to do joint build with them, you know, really throw it into their show and look at what we can do in the potential future, it's you know, it's something we definitely jumped all on, and you know, we were proud to say that we were able to do it. You know, the unveil's done, did it in January 11th. the car's kind of been sitting since nothing can be leased yet. And
right on.
Now it's going to be this Wednesday at 10 p.m., correct?
Yes, sir. You don't go to sleep, man. But we ask everybody join us, man. It's going to be a really, really good time. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a great episode. You're going to see the car that we worked so hard to build for Bucky. And then the car is going to be going back home to Bucky. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think everybody's going to enjoy it. I think we're going to throw a party at the house for the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we're just going to enjoy it and just see what it brings in the future. I think it'll be great.
You're going to be able to get more information, Bubba, on our website about that at bubbascustomcars.com.
Yes, just stay tuned for it. I guess all you got to do now is just stay back and wait till Wednesday.
Hey, that's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. Hey, this is going to be a great episode. We're going to talk a little bit today about, classic car restorations and how much goes into this and what it takes to do this. I thought it'd be a great way, especially with the Velocity show coming out, especially with new TV format that we're working with here. I thought this would be a great way to kind of work into this really. Let's talk about classic cars for a second. Give me the definition of a classic car.
Oh man, that could be an arguable subject. It's classics to me. And again, it's a personal opinion all across the board. But me, when I think classics, I mean, I think probably in the 50s to 50 to mid 70s would be what I consider the classic car era.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go older, some will go newer. I consider it from early to mid 50s up to late 70s. Late 70s, they kind of started fading away.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that truly fits and covers the classic side. And that covers all brands. But I feel like that would be the year range. A little prior to that, you'd start getting to I would consider vintage or antique. After that, you start getting into like mid 80s muscle stuff. My muscle, because there wasn't much going on.
Definition.
I feel like that may be the range, but I think just what is classic. Like, I think clean. Sure. I'm not talking a 57 Blair that's a pro touring. That I feel that falls under a different class.
Yep.
It's still a classic car, but it's pro touring or resto mod, something like that.
Right, right.
So car still fits in there for sure. But when I think of the word classic, I think of something that's very much what it should have been. Something that falls in the year range, 50 to 70s. It's very close to either a number matching or, a restoration that's matched as close stock as possible. Maybe color changes, mild performance stuff, but not full blown over the top. Very close to what was when it rolled off that assembly line.
First. Yeah.
I feel that is, lets you see what the car was when it was, what time it was built. And you really get a feel for that era. And I feel like it's a class car. You can get in it and go back to that time. That, to me, is a classic.
And one of the things that you do, Bub, that's so really, I mean, it's very articulate in what you do. And that is you bring together all of the modern performance into these vehicles so that classic lines of yesterday with all of the quality of today's modern technologies and conveniences.
Correct.
For example, one of the cars you're building right now is the 32 DeLorean Deuce for the World Series pitcher Carl Pavano.
Correct.
And that vehicle is going to have, it's really going to have the latest technologies in it with, I'm not going to get into it because I don't want people to understand it. I don't want your idea stolen, let's put it away.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the very latest technologies, but that people didn't even expect would be found in a DeLorean Deuce, a 32 Deuce.
Right. That even under this car, if someone asked me what's building, I wouldn't necessarily consider classifying it as a year range. I would just say, it's a pro touring roadster.
Okay.
That to me, it starts holding its own category because it's
a pro touring roadster that
holds a 32 Deuce.
Right.
That's still what it is. So far pro touring from that you can look at the car and you can physically throw it into a high class, category. It's a pro touring roadster. That's what it's going to be. That's what it is. It's not classic by any means. There's running boards or rock stuff.
Right.
It's nothing like that at all. So it's not antique, 27 Model X.
Let's do this. I can help build a car in the cleanest possible
possible to get you as much money as possible. You want it to ever fit and sell it. But if you go in heavy, you have a car example that you have, let's say, for example, this Pro Touring Camaro holding right now
for Terry Rose.
So if you go into a car and you've got 35-40 to it,
right?
The car at that price, you have to compare it in the market. If you go in at 35 and 40, you bought it for an average price of what they're realistically selling for.
Yes.
Then you have just that. I mean, you're basically going to break even if you just turn around and try to sell it the next day. But you go in at 20 on a car that's worth 35 to 40, you've already made money out of the gate, which gives you, you know, right, play around and the more upgrade you do and potentially increase the value of that car. Where if you go at 35, 40 and upgrades in it, it's going to be hard to put 10 upgrades on a car that's valued at 35, 40 and then get 45 to 50 out. You may get 42, you may lose a little bit unless you do it. If you use the right components, if design style is there, if it appeals to not only yourself as a personal car, but also to someone else, meaning you kind of build it in like a universal application style, so it looks good all the way across, whether it's young, older, male, female, whatever, you can really take the chance at rolling the dice and almost break even on everything you put into it. And that does that. You just have to do it right.
So your approach then is, Bob, it's your car, it's your money. Don't be upset with me if you go upside down.
I mean, take for example, if you go tomorrow, and I'm not saying we're going tomorrow, but if you go tomorrow to Harley Davidson and buy a brand new bike off the floor, if that bike is $20,000, okay, and you walk out of there and you're perfectly happy and ever satisfied, you could take that bike and probably the same amount. Probably you could. If you put $5,000 upgrades into it, you do it in chrome, and the other guy that's looking at wants it in black, count that money as a total loss.
Correct. That's done. Absolutely right.
So it's not necessarily where you put money in, you're going to get it back, but it's you're kind of building it to your style, your taste. That may not be the next guy's style or taste. So it's something that you're really rolling dice with risking, and you know, you just to take the gamble and go with it. That's the point of it, hobby. So it's, you have to know going into it, you could be looking at a loss. You may break even, you may make huge money. I mean, there may be some people, I made great money when I did Turbonetics Camaro, but I built it right, and I built it to fit in an entire application of people out there, male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. And that car was great. It turned amazing. I made plenty of money on it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Shout out to the guys over there. Reggie Wynn over there at Turbonetics, man, the whole crew over there. They're great, great people over there. You know, great car, super car, ran very smooth, exceptionally strong, dynoed hard. I mean, there was very little on the street to get close to touch that car, Bob. And it was just, it's what we call doing it bus style. It ran well, it was reliable, smooth, it passed the endurance test. It did an amazing job all the way around. There was no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It just was an amazing piece of equipment. And you just couldn't beat that vehicle, period.
So, you know, it's in restoration. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential out there to do what you're trying to, and you know, to, I guess, for people to enjoy the hobby, you just have to know what you're getting yourself into. It's a big process. You can do things cheap, and you can do them very quick. You're going to like that in the end? Maybe not. You know, that's kind of the deal where, you know, some people don't enjoy class cars or muscle cars or anti cars because they do, when you buy them, they spend more time sitting or getting repaired. If you do it slow and over a long process and have a lot of problems, versus doing it right one time and coming out the gate strong. You have something that you get in, you turn the key, you just roll any day, any week.
Yeah. You know, Bub, you have to give a big shout out to all of your sponsors out there that help keep these cars on the road. You know, all of those guys, Classic Instruments, all of those guys out there who take care of it and help you with these products. Rick Schmidt over at National Parts Depot, all of them, man.
Every one of them, you know, they all apply great products, you know, whether it's original components or you know, these, you know, you could say NOS, new old stock, so just kind of an older version of it. You know, reproduction stuff, remanufactured stuff, numbers matching stuff that's just been conditioned. There's modern fits that are direct fit. There's so many options out there, and that's why this hobby is such fun. If you're willing to enjoy it and play with it, there's so much available and so much that you can do. Everything, brake systems to steering systems to electronics to ignitions to fuel systems to power adder to the motors. There's so much available nowadays. I mean, even I just look, you know, McLeod bringing out a 5-speed original style, almost month looking transmission, just absolutely insane. So it looks, it doesn't have the bulkiness of, you know, the dynamic transmissions of 5 and 6 speeds.
Wait, say it again now?
This is a transmission. Yeah, it's, they're bringing out a 5-speed that looks like the same style casing as yours in the Saginaw and the Muncie. The one that just had, you know, the three mountable linkages on the side, it looks exactly like that. So you'll still have that link style 5-speed setup, which is totally insane. I mean, it gives that vision, you know, the actual original look and the vintage style, and you literally bolt it straight up to your factory L housing. So if
right.
you're just pulling out your 4-speed, you can slide this 5-speed right in place and you're ready to cruise.
So, Bub, let me ask you a question. As somebody comes in and says, hey, I'd like to restore my Tri-5 car, okay? You know, and they say, and as you know, we break everything down here into three modules. Paint body, right, which is our module one, exterior.
Yep.
Module two, which is interior.
Yep.
Module three, which is mechanical.
Yep.
And the way we do it is we write everything out for a client, and we have them initial everything and sign a work order, so it's all documented.
Yep.
All receipts are given and everything accounted for.
Yeah.
So as you have a client come in, he says, I'm going to start with module one. I'll start with our exterior module, okay? And they want you to look at the car. They want you to look at the body of the car and mm-hmm. give you an understand and for you to give a fair value evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
What hits you? What do you think first when somebody says, well, how much would it cost for the body to be done?
I mean, that's a hard hit. It's
very good.
Because it's, you can be anywhere. You know, I told a client that came in this week, you know, he wanted to know about the audio in his truck.
Sure.
And let me tell you, with today's stuff, you know, when you come in with an imagination of, I want it to be like really slammed out, I want to break my windows. Okay, well, be careful there because the company's out. We can do that for you. But you swing anything from $1,000 in audio grade to $15,000. So there are so many things and so much you can do. It's sort of like, you know, the way I like to do things personally, and some people don't like to do it, but I like back into things. Hey, listen, you know, we can swim from here to A to B. You have to tell me what fits. So a lot of times I'll ask, well, you know, just straight up front and work, we need to approach this situation.
So, Bob, and with that, if that's the case, let's tell our audience, let's tell the fans out there, what happens oftentimes when you start tearing down into a body?
You'll always find something. It's very, very, very rare. You will find a car that's supposedly numbers matching, untouched. It's never been hit, never been. There may have been guys that were pretty decent back in the day that did some body work you couldn't tell, and you start getting into it, and if you know, you've got an inch thick bond of somewhere hiding something.
Yeah.
And if you don't repair and do it right, 6 months later, you're going to be pissed at me.
That's exactly right. And what typically will happen with paint if it's not done properly?
It'll just, I mean, start flaking, bubbling. You'll start getting a bubble from underneath.
From the outside. So one of the things people need to consider in a restoration is, especially with body work, be patient with whoever you're dealing with out there. Because they need to understand they being
body work is the biggest part of any car. Big part. Motors, I can build them all day long. It doesn't matter where they are. We can build them start to finish in probably a week time. Get parts, get them in, get sealed, get them built, get them ready to go, painted, get them all sealed up, done. In a week's time, two time. That's motors. Transmission, same deal. Braking system, sometimes it's a little harder if you're doing brake conversions or, you know, whatever. You get brackets milled or machined or, you know, whatever the case being. Suspension, you can pretty much get a lot of everything today. But when it comes to paint and body, all the way across the board, you know, it's nothing more than labor.
That's right.
I mean, if you're against a part that isn't available, you have to hand fabricate.
You have to make, don't you?
And you have to do it in a way where you can't tell it was ever done, and you have to do it to the same quality as what was done.
Sure.
At that time, so matches, panel thickness is the same. Nothing's going to show, your welds won't be up, nothing will come back, and, you know, it takes time, and people don't understand that, and that's the first thing when you approach a car, if paint and body's not right, your first turn off from the car. So you walk up and you see runs, or you see, you know, chipware, a gap that are out of alignment, a door that's not, you know, eighth gaps all the way around. And, I mean, just little stuff like that that will immediately shut you down, push you away, taking the time to do it right, and then you enjoy it for the rest of the time you own.
And by the way, if any of our fans want to call in, you can call us live, 714-242-5000. 5166, and we'll talk to you about your restoration. Give us a shout right now. But other things we need to think about, brake systems.
Mm-hmm.
Brake systems. Today's brake systems are much better when you consider a restoration than, say, the braking systems of yesterday. Even though they had power drum systems back then, they now have power brake systems.
Correct.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like I continue to say, that there's so much available out to do these cars in an enjoyable and a safe manner. I mean, you can do it right. You know, sometimes I weigh things out in the fact that, you know, yeah, maybe the car was originally drum brakes. Maybe it's better to have drum brakes on it. Its numbers is matching. But if it's going to cost $300 or $500 to put a real drum up on it with the time you factor in the cost of two drums, wheel cylinders, line, spring kit, shoes, all the hardware, you look at $500 in random parts. I'm just throwing random numbers. And these numbers be 100, they could be 2,000. But I'm just throwing an example of that's it. Versus a disc brake kit, maybe for the rear of your car, that could be $600, $750. Why not just spend a couple hundred more since you're already putting investment into it? You're doing it one time. You're not going to come back to that rear now for brakes. Probably for another 13 years at how little you're going to drive kinds of cars.
How above does that affect the – how does that affect the value on the backside? Should the client want to sell that vehicle because you did, say, a brake upgrade?
I think if it's a car that is not necessarily, like, to the bone number matching, sure, you're going to get money. That's a selling point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plus, and people
right.
say, well, want that. If it's a car that is like super rare, it's only one of 30 or 150 or maybe even one of 500, it may not be something you want to look at doing because we'll really want that numbers matching style and everything to the T. You know, on cars like that, if it were me personally and I had something that was really rare limited in my collection, I don't care. I would still rather have safe and perform how I wanted it to perform and that the quality was built into it when I built it myself. I'd enjoy it, and you know, it'd be a really rare option car, but it's got these and upgrades and aftermarket add-ons, but they still retain the factory appearance. Even though I did this brake kit, I still painted them the colors. Even though I went with this brakes, I still kept solid rotors in there, so it wasn't crushed in spot where it really stuck like an eyesore.
How about Bub, for example, a lot of cars that were post World War II, even pre-World War II, up until I want to say let's say late 40s, early 50s, were 6-volt systems.
Mm-hmm.
Today's vehicles, as we know, are all 12-volt systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that.
It's junk.
What's junk?
Systems. Why would you keep it? When today you can pick up the phone, you can go online, you can get Pertronics, one of the electronic ignition systems that I use and support. You can buy anything to retain that factory appearance. If you're buying something that's pre-war, post-war, around that era, and you want it to retain stock appearance, fine, no problem at all. Pertronic sells everything you need to fit inside of your stock distributor assembly, and the coils come black, so probably are most likely going to be very similar to the color that the stocks were, unless they're like a dark brown, which you could very easily
you can,
do.
Yeah, you can paint them.
So they sell everything you need to put a 12-volt conversion into your factory setups. You can do a 12-volt battery. You can do a 6-volt battery plastic cover that goes on top, has factory 6-volt markings and everything. Only it covers a 12-volt battery. You can convert your entire system, your headlights, your dash lights, your vending units, everything over to a 12-volt setup. Have something that starts quick, it's reliable, it runs how it should, it's efficient, the fuel burns properly, it doesn't break down, you don't lose points anymore. For, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, it could cost everything, the generator. You can get in the same casing, but get an alternator built side of it. So it's going to be completely modern and just key and reliable, enjoyable, and get everything you want. It's stupid to not do it.
What about, Bob, so you're saying you're in support of making 12-6-volt systems and moving them over to a 12-volt system?
Most people, if I do the install, you probably would never know.
And that's correct, because you use components that look, for example, generators that look just like an alternator.
And PowerMaster is a very huge company out there that sells great products. Sell alternators. That's what they're known for. They sell a lot of electronic starters, and they sell a lot of things that you can do these 12-volt conversions.
Sure.
If you don't just want that modern-looking alternator in there, say, hey, yeah, a modern conversion. You want it to look stock. they probably have the original casing, the original generator alternate setup. You can have, literally have an alternator built into that housing, so it completely retains a stock appearance, whether it's matte black or brass finish or, you know, even polished or satin, whatever it may be. They come with the correct fan blade on them, everything how it should be. So it's literally like you put in a one-wire alternator and you're done. And how simple is that?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, good morning to G. Redding out there. That's listening to us out there as well, Bob.
Hey, Redding is probably hating me right now because he has nothing but very rare, unique numbers matching cars.
He's got best, man.
He's one of one.
By the way,
you still have the Shelby?
I know. GA, do you still have the Shelby? I'll guarantee you get an answer.
There was one of one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. By the way, Bub, new show, Veronica Vincent, Miss Hotbot, is coming to our network, our TV network, in March of 2016. I was just
Isn't born. Veronica with Painless?
I don't know.
Is that the other Veronica?
But you know what? Big shout out, Painless Performance, because Painless Performance is auto electric.
Is she their mom? That's what I'm getting. Veronica something. Their mom.
Damn, yeah. Painless Performance is auto electric.
There's a battle between her and Layla.
There's no battle there, man. Come on.
Layla was talking to Johnny over at Classic.
She still is.
I know.
She's going to do the whole bugged in car and the whole thing. And goodness gracious me, man. Hey, Bub, how about lighting? Let's talk about lighting a little bit. These are some of the talks about the 6 to 12 volt. Of course, you'd have to do some upgrading in your lighting around there as well. But let's talk about lighting upgrades. Today's LEDs are just absolutely, they draw less. The price is really starting to come down on LEDs.
They are. It still costs a little bit, especially if you're going to do an entire car. It's one thing to buy a set of bulbs. It's another to buy a complete LED circuit. Those are two totally different dynamics. You can buy, for example, we're talking like a 67 to 16 Camaro. You can buy three bulbs for the back on each side, so six total. Or you can buy complete LED panels. The difference is either going to be $200 or probably close to $1,500 for a complete circuit board. But you're going to get that. You're going to get a complete circuit board LED panel that may be sequential. It may start at the inside and work its way out, flashing brakes. You know, there's so much stuff that's available. Again, it's just all about that money. You can just do whatever you want. That's why I love this industry. And literally, if you can think about it, it can be done.
And that's part. It's funny, too, because we were having a conversation, and you know, yesterday in here is an absolute nut house. It's 40 that came out of the bottom museum after sitting.
I've been crewing that thing, dude.
Yeah. That thing just got
it. Man, 140 BHP.
That's what.
Brake horsepower, by the way.
That, it was, the whole story was very, very, it was a very telling story. You had a whole gentleman's club in here yesterday watching you build, and
they were just hanging.
They hang right behind. They literally sit at the Woodward Fabrication table. Woodward Fabrication is what? Fabrication?
Bubba style.
Done Bubba style. But they were all sitting at the Woodward Fabrication table. So that's a very famous spot here in the main facility. So they're all hanging out there. The owner of the Mercedes comes up with his, he's got the Ferrari FF, which is the V12 with 680 horsepower, I think, told me.
Yep. Absolutely incredible.
Yep.
Just a total animal of a car.
Animal of a car. He's sitting there, he shuts off the car and then starts, shuts it off, starts it. And we're like, okay, so how letting us know he's out there?
Yep.
You had the Mercedes pulled out front, and the thing is as long as a city block, right?
Yeah.
And he got the car angled from the Mercedes, in the beautiful South Florida sun is bouncing sun bars off this car's paint and every curve and every piece of chrome on it. And he gets out and he goes, Tom, where's Glenn? I said, well, he's in the facility. So I come out and get you. He goes, and he starts saying, Bub, I don't know, do I have a pinstripe in the car?
No, absolutely not.
No.
No way.
All of a sudden, you've got this whole gentleman club outside. Everybody's, you got 30 people huddled around this car, fans. Just everybody huddled around this car as Howard's having this personal conversation with you about whether or not we put pinstriping on, a $1.5 million Mercedes.
But I think that's even crazy that you bring it up, because I definitely immediately declined on any modification
on
this car.
He's done. Fine.
And this is where, I guess, from the design and builder standpoint, it kind of throws a personal preference, because this car, for example, I did very much to see how it would be. All the way down, I have the actual manual, the Mercedes-Benz assembly manual,
live in that thing, man, for
from 1926. So I've been literally like setting the valves are supposed to be 5,000ths and 10,000ths on an engine exhaust. I mean, I've got the plug gap at 18,000ths all the way across, 16,000ths on the point, the firing, the actual time degrees before top center, and then you control it from the wheel, but that's where your base timing is pretty huge. So the whole setup, I'm doing it, getting it done. But this car, for example, like I built it exactly to stop. However, the wires, I'd go with a solid core wire. Correct. I went with a Supreme wrap wire. So it was a modern wire, but it was still very black, and it was very vintage looking in its appearance. And I cut so that they had the exact appearance and the original equipment of the original wires. We're still on it, believe it or not, from 1926, which is crazy.
Talking about the ignition wire, spark plugs.
Right, yeah. Correct. But in this example, it's like threw a little modern to it, but just enough to make it so it was a very efficient and a good run. By the way, this car was a 12-volt system back then, which is called a dynamo. That was a generator and alternator. Three editions later, right? That's what it's down to, is a dynamo. So I get things set up. It's running. It's purring like a kitten, man. I'm telling you, this thing is crazy. 140 bhp. Brake horsepower. It cruises. It purrs. You can push the free button and it starts it up.
Right
up, I mean,
man.
There's no smoking. Yep. The motor is solid. It's great. It runs quiet. No riches, no lean spots. I mean, you just got, you cruise. Let me tell you this much. I've been running so efficient and tuned properly. It's hard to control the car physically because the transmission in it, the 4-speed manual, is non-synchronized. There's nothing in it to make it synchronized. There's no way of making it synchronized, but now the motor's running so strong and so responsive, you're supposed to be shifting the car first, second, 6 miles an hour, second to third at 13 miles an hour, and then third to fourth with like 19 or 21 miles an hour. Very low shifting gears, which, I mean, I usually wouldn't even be getting out of first any other car until about 20 or 30. This one, you're into fourth by 20.
Yeah.
And you have to shift it very low because there is no synchro. You can't line up and go in a higher RPM.
Right.
So it's hard to do it because the car wants to run so smooth and strong now. Do it like you're naturally driving it like a normal car now because it's running so efficient and smooth. You're shifting like 3,000 RPM. The thing doesn't even want to try to go into gear. You're supposed to shift to 1,100 RPM.
Not much. Not to mention that when you come to a stop, I've actually driven the car with you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great picture of this car, everybody. If you go to our website, BubbasCustomCars.com, and click on our Facebook page, Bubba is with the World Series pitcher Paul Pavano taking for a ride in it. And when you see, you have to remember, Paul Pavano is 6'7". And that car, like I said, is as long as a city block.
And he's like 12 feet away from me.
Yeah, exactly. And you can still see how tall a man he is sitting in that car. But you know, you're able to go from there, and that was the conversation that all 30 of these people were having yesterday.
But wait, before you get into that, what I'm getting at, though, how from a builder and designer standpoint, that car didn't go over 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour max. So when you're in this car, you're cruising, you're getting it, you know, you're not going as hard, you're just cruising the car. That's it. There's no reason I would take a 7-figure car. Can't even think about suggesting disc brakes this car. Now, regardless of the fact that I modernized a couple of things to make it run reliable and be efficient, there's no reason I would add the other items to it, which on this road would probably devalue the car because there is six of these in the entire world. So I wouldn't even think about doing that. But at the same time, there's also no reason to do it. And that's from a builder and designer standpoint. You know, it's not necessary to upgrade every piece of your car just because you can get something forward. So you don't need to put the brakes on everything. For example, with this car, it's long, it's heavy, it's slow, it's not going to be going crazy fast. You don't need to have that type of set on it. And if you can't get it, why would you re-engineer it? What's there works beautiful for the car
built. For what it was. And again, that's kind of driving towards the point. I overheard a couple of the main conversation yesterday, and meaning you, Bubba, at 27, has that kind of knowledge in his head from the technical specifications of a 1926 40 to building a 900 horsepower LV, you know, Camaro motor that just dynoed out last week. I mean, your vast would put your knowledge base against anybody in the biz in terms of what you're able to produce and bring forward. And that's part of the beauty of who you are. And it's not just that you can draw it on a piece of paper, you can physically build it and know every component that's going into it. And that these people were saying yesterday.
I think too, though, it's, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of understanding of what you're doing. You know, I think it's, to me, I don't think of it as much. However, I mean, it's, you know, like doing this Mercedes example, I'm getting it to do the 1912 rolls coming in at that.
Wow. That's
so going, and it's because I have an understanding of what I'm looking into. So if I want to know about why something's not running right, or why it's performing how it'd be, or why this isn't working, I basically take an overview of the system, you know, start to finish, A to B, A to Z, what I want to say.
Right.
I look at anything that's involved in that system, and I create the equation essentially in my head. Like, why is this here? This plus this is trying to do this. So I have to figure that out. And once I figure it out and I understand what it's trying to do and what its sole purpose is, then I can very quickly determine how it works and understand how it works. Then I can make it happen. It's, to me, it's, I just build the equation around it. And by the way, I failed math 4 years straight and had to go to science.
Yes, you sure did. It's one of your suits now.
I mean, it is, because I use these numbers every day. I'm talking numbers I couldn't even, I don't even know. And I got numbers going out my freaking ears.
And it's just, yeah, and that's the funny thing about it. Well, a lot of people don't know that you decided to step out of high school at the age of 14 to open this business.
After my fourth year of math failure.
Exactly.
But I was like number three at the point.
Yeah.
Calculus.
You didn't want to. Anymore, you're done. It's not that you're a bad student. You just
boring, dude.
Yeah, you were mechanically mind was wrong. I got to tell you, man. You know, our director, our network director, Steve, over there at Talking Cars, man. He's got audio levels that well, man. You can
hear solid. It's clean. I'm not hearing go up and down in my headphones like I was last week. I'm on our board, it's here. It's very solid and level where it used to peak and it would max out and it would filter down. And it would sound fuzzy for a second. It sounds very clear.
And you know, I was literally in a technical meeting with him all day long yesterday. My head was frigging spinning, but because there's two things. Number one, I don't like it still. And number two, I am not a technical guy. And I mean, he takes so much time and effort. But if you look at analytically, his results, they speak for themselves. He is extremely successful at what he does. At producing these shows, he's very, very good at bringing in sponsorship. He's very, very good at the quality of what he produces, and it's, you can hear it right here now. You're going to be seeing it as well.
And this is just one of those things where, just like everything, every person in every type of business and industry, you know, you have to roll the dice sometimes, and you have to give people a chance. Don't listen to gossip. Don't read reviews. You got to roll the dice, and you got to go and get your own opinion on it. And you can just, you know. This is one of those things, if you would have judged body by not knowing, like, hey, this guy halfway across the country, why would I want to trust this guy?
Man, he's amazing.
But, you know, he came up and he said, give me the chance, we'll do it, now let's do it. It's perfect. It's one of those things where you just do it and come out satisfied at the end, and now it's going to move forward on both parties.
Well, I think, you know, did this.
He's not. I'm going to smash his mic right here. This one. You'll see it.
I'm going to see it.
If people see this mic, here's a mic. Here's
yeah,
a mic.
You can see it right there.
There it is.
So, you know, he did a good job with his children, too. Two of his sons are Air Force air pilots, by the way. So, you know, he did the right thing. And you know what? Again, I want to remind everybody, Velocity, March 2nd, 10 p.m., Bob, we are the guy.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. We should have, like, a TV party, something like that.
We're going to have a TV party, but you can't wear anything.
That'd be a nude TV party.
You could call it what you want. I'm just calling it a TV party.
All right, just make it a TV party.
It just has rules.
That's exactly right. Or no rules, as we say.
I suppose.
Exactly. Let's talk a little about in terms of a restoration.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
If you're doing it, why would you not do it?
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's so much out there to buy. I mean, you could literally put the phone and get our steering kits for almost anything nowadays. It's a reliable.
The old 55 Dodges, the Mustangs, to have all of them.
Man, I mean, you can do it to virtually almost anything. There's a lot of stuff, though. I mean, this does get tricky. There are a couple rides out there, very, very select few, but there are a couple rides out there that do not allow for the direct fit just built on it. It was never a factory option. You can't just get factory parts. You can't direct replacement stuff. But you physically have to change the entire front clip or the front subframe, which means you cut the front of the car off with the firewall, and you buy, you know, Universal Mustang 2 or That's kind of like the go-to in the industry.
Yeah, I was telling you about that the other day.
But you buy this universal install that comes with new brake, comes with a disc brake setup, it comes with power steering setup, it comes with all cross member frame setup, and then you can put whatever motor mount you want to keep your stock mount set in it. You know, there's that could be a job on some cars. I mean, some, you know, a $1,500 upgrade power steering, some could be a $10,000 upgrade for power steering if you have to cut the power frame off and recenter it, line the frame up on the machine, get set up in place, make sure you're well in place. And, you know, you're risking someone's life at that point when you cut the frame in half. So it's got to be strong. It's got to be done right. And, you know, again, it's out there. But if you're doing a restoration to a Mustang, to a Bel Air, to a Camaro, to a Bell, to, I guess, you know, there's just so many out there that you can name that you can literally just pick up the phone, you can buy some parts for them, have the kits in and bolt it on.
So we would think that bringing technology into a lot of these older cars, which we know you're very well known for in the industry, is part of what we need to consider during the restoration process.
For sure. I mean, you always want to, you know, start right out of the gate. What's your goal? Like, it's your goal, it's your budget. This, let's be real. You have to be real because too many people see too many cars on TV, too many TV shows about cars, too much scripting, too much stuff at Barrett Jackson. All these factors that are unreal, are unrealistic. So because you see something for a week at Barrett Jackson, this is a show that comes once a year, that only once a year. People save up all year long to go there to have nothing more ego spin. To be on TV, to just hold their paddle and just buy the car, probably $20,000, $40,000 for more than it's worth, just because they're doing it. It's fun. It's great. You enjoy it. Have fun doing it. But don't let it be an unrealistic sight of the car you have just bought off Craigslist for $5,000 that you want to put 50 into, and if you'll get 90 that they just got on Barrett Jackson. Maybe looking at a potential loss. Probably you are.
Yeah, exactly. You are. So how about air conditioning, Bub? What about air conditioning cars? Vintage air makes stuff. I mean, there are several different aftermarket air conditioning houses. What about air conditioning?
Some people want it, don't care. And I mean, North, most people don't really care. The summer's not that long. Here, almost everyone has AC. There's kits that are directed. There's kits that are custom. There's kits that are universal fit. You just basically make everything and just buy parts you need. It can be done. It's not a problem to be done. Really, with any of these cars, anything can be done to any of the cars. However, it's just how far do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
It can be done, sure. But again, you can AC kits for direct fit for '69 Camaro $5,000 versus a kit that'd be a universal install for a fit Ford Chevrolet 3100 pickup. That's going to be $8,000. So you could be all over the place, and it's, you know, kind of the swing with it. So it's, you know, how far are you trying to go? Where are you willing to go? And that's it. I mean, you take it and you go for it. It can be done. Of course it can be done.
So we are saying that, Bub, in any ways, there are a lot of things we need to considerations. Frame on, frame off.
Sure. I mean, 100%, it's a completely, I mean, honestly, like, let me put it this way. If I look something for being, either for a client or for myself personally, I don't care what it has for a motor. Again, motors can be people in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't care what it has for transmission. We can get anything virtually, whether it's automatic or manual. I don't care what it has for brake systems. I look at nothing more right out of the gate. I don't care spending $1,000 on a car with no motor, no transmission, or $30,000 for something, quote-unquote, turnkey already looks pretty decent. I look at the platform. How is the body of that car? How are the floors of that car? How's the frame of that car? Those things are good. Get the car at a really low price. Put money into the new stuff. Put a new motor and a new transmission. Or just build with air, whatever, if it's not matching, however you want to do it. You got to make sure you get the solid platform. A solid platform, you're already ahead of the game. But if you get a car that's painted 10 times, it's got rust patches everywhere, that's got holes in it, your numbers is going to keep going up, 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 and up. A $5,000 paint job into an $8,000, into a $10,000, into a $12,000, then your chroming's probably going to have to be done. Your panels are going to have to get redone. Your plating's going to have to be done. So before you know it, you're looking $20,000 plus into just the body, and you haven't even getting the rolling.
And people don't understand that. You know, one of the things we do not like to do is call somebody back and say, hey, you know, we quote this, need more.
Right.
I've got a real, real issue with that morally. And you have to just kind of stand up as a business owner and eat it and do the right thing.
you do, but at the same time, you have to be knowledgeable enough to evaluate that out of the gate to get people close. And again, you have to be realistic with stuff. I mean, you can get the car for $500 above Craigslist. They think, hey, maybe it needs a tune-up and it needs a paint job. Okay, so you get it for $500, you're being cheap if that's what you're doing. You're going to put $1,500 in paint and $1,000 in to make it, and you're all in at under $5,000, and that's not, it's going to burn down on you every time you go cruise. So they have it. Fine for you.
Right, right, exactly. And you know, it's very dependent upon you do your research when you buy a vehicle, because you need to know or consult somebody like us or somebody that you have faith in, that you've had a relationship with, that has built quality, viable vehicles for you over the years. Consult with somebody. Find out about this car. If it's not local to you, have somebody look at it. For example, we have one of our lawyers who's looking at a 70 Mustang. Where's the car located?
In Peru.
And
there are companies. There are people that physically will fly out. There are professionals in the industry that do nothing more than understand what they're looking at, know what to value a car at, and what to look for in a car. And it's a service you pay for. It could be maybe you're getting $500, maybe spending $1,000, maybe spending $1,500 to send this person to get the live to set up contracts to deal. What is that when you're looking at a car that's $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, and you're looking at possibly getting burned on that much money, or you're just rolling the dice and throwing away $1,500 to someone to do it to confirm their money's protected?
And one of the things you did for Jason was request a list of everything that's been done, and there were some things that they came up suspicious to you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, 2 sets of head gaskets. That immediately told you something.
Somebody's been in the mud twice already.
Right. A 4-speed top loader transmission. A top loader, for those who don't know, is the shifter's mounted directly on top of the transmission on Ford vehicles for Ford transmissions.
I just hate when people say that. It really annoys me. It's like people are so annoying the way they say things. Sometimes they're like, oh, what's that? A top loader?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why don't you ask what transmissions, and I'll probably tell you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
I'll tell you exact transmission, not just use a top loader, because all I know.
Yeah. So it said a top loader 4-speed, and it had a conversion in it. So there were a lot of hidden variables that you really need to get into to find out about this vehicle, because there were things that just didn't make sense. Do your research, know your car. You have to be able to depend on somebody who you can trust if you're not physically there to see the vehicle. Take pictures of the vehicle. Talk to people who build cars. Send them pictures. Let them see it. Let them. That's what you do. You build all day, Bob.
Yeah.
And
you have to be good. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be a realist when it comes to doing this kind of stuff. You just do. Not for yourself, builder, but also for the client, to ensure that you're happy, they're happy, they get what they want. You know, everything has to go smooth, and there's just many people that have unrealistic expectations because, again, they see, you know, TV show, and they see the Barry Jackson stuff, and they, you know, Mecham's a little different. They're a little more realistic with cars, makes it a little more enjoyable. But even, I mean, you have to understand these people are going because they want the dollar. They're not going and paying a commission fee to sell their car, because they're going there to get rid of their car at the best price possible to make money, to part and be happy.
And, Bob, even the cars that you've seen come in from Barry Jackson,
it's way different. The lighting there and what you see on TV is very, very, very different than what you're going to get when it loads. I'm telling you how it is.
Do the cars that are sent directly to you run all the time?
No. We've probably pushed, I'd say, more on the 60-70% side of vehicles off of transport carriers being delivered from very large name auctions.
People in the audience, please be careful, especially with these cars and these restorations.
That's what happens, man. They go out, they bid over phone, or they buy it online, and they spend this huge pot of cash, and they think got a gem coming to them, and then they're like, well, it gets us, and they're trying to cheat us now from here on out because the car doesn't run because they spent too much at the start. Well, can't be mad at me because you bought the car for that price and you didn't do your work.
And that's particular owner of these Concourse cars that you work for. Uh, he
he knows what he bought. He also is very realistic about it. That's what I like. I like working with clients that are realistic. He bought the car, sight unseen, opening it, right on TV. He bought it, seven figures on it. That's a lot of money put on a car that comes right off the TV. They don't run. It was told it was a no top. It was told that it doesn't run. Hasn't run in multiple years. Never ran right. So he goes into it knowing that. But he also knows what he's getting and what he's going to put in. He already has those numbers in his head. So it's win-win for him, because when he gets the car, he already knows he's got what he's expecting. He puts into it what he expected. And he goes away very satisfied when it's all done, because a car that's what he wanted, he got it for the right price. He put the right stuff into it. Now he's enjoying it all day long.
He's enjoying it all day long. And Bob, big shout out to Steve over at Talking Car, our producer over there. He's done an amazing job today. He's getting ready to cover to another show, to Steve over there, over to another show. And we really appreciate everything he's done this to help us technically to get television side things started. We'll have it up on the website. He's going to be a huge family of car shows that he's putting together. We'll lead. It's going to be a very exciting radio and television network that we're developing. It's a real honor to be part of this.
I'm looking forward to it. Everybody, stay tuned for March 2nd, Velocity Channel South Beach Classics. You'll see us kill this insane 57 Thunderbird we did, and I can get back out to building this tour and come out
for Terry and the boys out there. Hey, everybody, listen, we really appreciate you following us. Gotta thank all of our sponsors out there. I mean, everybody, all sponsors, Classic Instruments, Natural Parts, Bo, Painless Performance, all Challenger lists, all of them. Fabrication, we really appreciate it. Hey guys, we appreciate it. We'll be catching up with everyone next week. We'll get up live so you can see. And until next week, Bub, fun.
Doing it Bubba style.
Doing it Bubba style.
Get in, let's go!
That does it for this week's episode of Doing It Bubba Style. If you have a question you would like answered on the air, email Bubba and Tom at sales@bubbascustomcars.com.
We do what we do best.
Or visit their very interactive website, www.bubbascustomcars.com. That's www.bubbascustomcars.com, where you will also be linked to all their social media as well, and where you will get to see all the great cars they are building. If you want to talk to Bubba and Tom live, call them at 714-242-5166. At 714-242-5166. Every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Make sure you set out every day to touch someone's life in a very positive manner. And keep on doing it Bubba style.
Gosh, wait till I tell my friend.
Goodbye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.